Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk Michelle Obama's appearance on MasterChef, the 10 best vegan cities around the world, all with the vegan fat kid, Tim Moore. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
All right, you guys, I am back from vacation. So excited to be here at the Fit Club. You guys can find me online at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon with my lovely co-host, Shaka. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I love this Lauryn Hill song. Right? You guys can find me at Shaka Strong on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. And we are here with the vegan fat kid, Mr. Tim Moore. Where can they find you?
They can find me at vegan fat kid. You can go .com if you want. Vegan fat kid anywhere else.
I would just like to say thank you so much. You are our first guest to ever bring us food.
Yes.
And although I gained 5 pounds on vacation, I will eat some vegan donuts because they don't count, right?
Yeah,
they're vegan.
Well, I mean,
you can't get fat off of vegan donuts.
I've seen the Fit Club, and you know, you guys are rocking 6 packs, and I had to bring one too.
Six donuts. Nice. 1, 2, 3. Okay, well, tell us.
This is the fam over at Donut Friend in Highland Park, and we have 6 vegan donuts. We have bacon 182. We have a Samoa, like the cookie. We got a custard front drive. We got a polar berry. This is a classic PB&J, which is a drive like jelly.
Damn, son.
And we have a s'mores donut.
S'mores. My God.
Okay. So thanks to Donut Friend.
Thank you, Donut Friend. I will be eating with no napkin during the show.
Yeah, right.
Which one should I eat? So many. I love coconut. I love bacon. So that's vegan bacon.
Vegan bacon?
Yeah.
Coconut bacon?
Is that coconut bacon? Okay, awesome.
Oh, man, what's your...
You know, right now, they just veganized the Samoa, which hadn't been vegan before.
I was thinking that. All right, I'm going to do the Samoa just because I do love Girl Scout cookie Samoas.
And you got to save me a bite of that one.
What do we say? Cheers, mates?
We say cheers, mates.
Yeah, cheers, mates.
What's this guy?
And I want some of that vegan bacon.
Yeah.
We're going to, like, just eat
pieces.
Yeah,
we're going to have to, like, split these up. I need to taste a little bit of everything, right?
And will you be joining us?
Oh, I will absolutely be joining you.
Nice.
This is part of, my diet. We'll get into it at some point.
All right. We will start very soon with our stories, but let me first try this.
This is why I say going vegan is so easy, guys. You don't have to give up anything. Like, right?
Isn't that what they say? You know, you say, we should go vegan, and everyone thinks like they're going to lose something.
Yeah.
It's like, let me show you what you gain.
Like, I'll be eating cardboard the rest of my life. No, not true. This is ridiculously good.
I think my mom still thinks I eat salad.
She's over there getting lost.
I am so happy I didn't have that AfterBuzz popcorn today.
Yeah.
And I saved my calories for this.
Are you glad you came back from vacation for this?
Oh, it's worth it. I mean, might as well just go ham. You know, I'll go hard tomorrow, right?
Man.
What is this from again? Donut Friend. Thank you.
We got to talk a little bit about you and where you've been and what you've done. So we have this story about these best vegan cities. And strangely enough, have you ever been to Portland, Oregon?
I have not, but people say that you look like you're from Portland, Oregon. No, fun fact.
Are you serious?
I am from New Zealand.
Yeah.
It's a little island on the bottom of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it rains a lot. And when I was watching a movie called The Ring, there was like a Kiwi actor, a guy from New Zealand, was in the movie. And it was raining a lot, and there was a lot of green. I was like, wow, this is a New Zealand film. But it wasn't. It was from Portland, Oregon. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's like Portland, Oregon might be New Zealand of America.
You have a connection.
Maybe, yeah.
So have you been to Berlin?
I have not been to Berlin.
You got to take that New York City.
I have been to New York City.
How did you find the vegan option? So they rank third on this list.
I mean, I don't know who's putting together this list. I'm just saying.
Did you have trouble?
No, you know, I don't want to be biased just because we're in LA, but, you know, we are in the vegan capital of the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, per capita, the number of vegan restaurants and joints that you can get into. But they got great stuff in New York as well. I love my New York people.
Yeah, because we have Tel Aviv on the list, Honolulu, Hawaii. Mm-hmm.
Wait, tell me we made the list. Did we make
the
list?
Oh, Los Angeles? Yeah. Taipei. LA was
Detroit.
Detroit,
I'm surprised
Michigan,
at that one.
Which was like, I didn't know anything was in Detroit, much less like you could find good vegan fare.
I got to say, if you give me a ticket to any one of these places I'm looking at, I mean, I'm going to Taipei.
Yeah.
That sounds mad interesting.
Toronto and Chennai, India, which you remember they have such a respect for animals in India, so there is like a very anti-meat, you know, thing going on there. So you haven't been to any of those cities?
I have not.
What do you do when you are trying to remain vegan in a city that's not very vegan-friendly?
You go into a restaurant with enthusiasm. That's what you do. You know, a restaurant.
You build your own plate at the restaurant.
And then you understand how much kind of voting power you have with your dollar, and you encourage and invite and inspire these restaurants to add vegan options. And you go like, mate, don't give me a bloody vegetable plate. I don't want a platter of your, you know, asparagus. Like, you know, let's get creative. And you know, most of them respond.
Yeah. I've never... I guess had much interaction with Kiwis until my first gym job. I went to what's that big? It's like all the classes. A lot of the 24-hour fitness has them. The body.
No. Oh, the body sculpt.
No. Like they do body pump and
like
all those classes.
Have Les Mills.
Les Mills. Yeah. So Les Mills is from New Zealand. So I went to this Les Mills like. Launch every quarter they launch new classes. So I went in New York City. My general manager had taken me, and we did all these classes, and there were so many Kiwis, and they were so enthusiastic, so ripped, and had the best accent. So being a New Zealander yourself, were you guys very active out there? Because I heard that like everybody works out like you go work out instead of eating.
I was actually a fat kid, so I wasn't doing much working out. I actually hid in the music room.
So you were a little fat kid at one point.
I was, yeah. Oh, okay. I'm not trying to be ironic. Okay. So I am from South Auckland in New Zealand, and I went to a Samoan high school. And when we all hit puberty together, they became, you know, 6'3" giants, and I did not. So, you know, it was a hard time, especially in gym class, and it kind of stuck with me. And, you know, the rest of my life is trying to deal with the fact that I never looked like my action figures growing up. Yeah. And, you know, if you're talking about the late 80s, early 90s, you're talking about, you know, Schwarzenegger and Stallone and all these guys being the top dogs on TV. And, you know, when you're a kid, that really hits you hard. And trying to... be that when you're not is it, you know, sticks with you. So as far as getting out and about, we have a strong rugby culture.
Mm-hmm.
So all the lads, you know, myself included, you know, you kind of have to play a bit of rugby until you hide away in the music room and pick up a guitar and figure out like, I think this is my path of not getting pummeled by a Samoanga. But mad love to everyone back at home. I miss it.
I lived in Hawaii for a while, and let me tell you, those Samoans are huge. I remember a couple of Samoan girls wanted to fight me, and I was like, I'm good. I will just here take it, because they look like linebackers. They were eating good.
I went to a boys' school. I didn't even know any girls, and so we had a sister Samoan girls' school, and so trying to find a prom date that was not, you know, they were taller than me. They were taller than me, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I love it. All right, so what, I guess what made you move to the States, since we know that you went to, you know, you lived in New Zealand, and I think backstage you told me you actually went to a different country for a while.
Yeah, I bounced around a little bit, and I always kind of imagined I wanted to be in America, and I came here in 2001, and I fell in love with it. It is basically like it was on TV, and, you know, primetime TV anywhere in the world is American TV, so you kind of get influenced, and, you know, I came here, and especially California. I actually flew, if you want a real quick story, I flew basically from New Zealand to Chicago, and I spent 3 months in Chicago, and that was a great place. But I was in a bar one night, and I was 23 at the time, and the guy next to me said, mate, what are you, I'm paraphrasing actually, he didn't say mate. He's like, mate, what are you doing here? I go, oh, I'm just hanging out, mate. And he's like, oh, how old are you? I said, oh, I'm 23, bro. And he's like, oh, you want to be in LA or South Beach when you're 23 and come back to Chicago when you're 33.
And you just listened. You said, you know
what? Yeah, and then the next day I was on a plane to LA because I figured I didn't speak Spanish, so I wasn't going to Miami. And I finally made it to Miami last year, and it's amazing.
It's my hometown.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I came to LA, and I arrived at about, you know, 2 in the morning at LAX, and I had $20 cash on me. And a guy saw me and said, you know, where you trying to get to? I said, mate, I got $20. He's like, oh, I can take you to Venice Beach. I said, oh, I heard of that. And I checked into a hostel there, and I woke up in the morning, walked out on the boardwalk, and I was like, what the hell is this?
That's amazing. That was actually my first place I went to with Venice Beach, and I was the same way. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, and I fell in love with it. You know, you got Muscle Beach right there, and all the stuff that my American dreams were made of.
It's culture down there. It's culture.
Yeah, and I never left. And, you know, I used to – those little trinket stands they have there?
Yeah,
I used to set those up in the morning for $5.
Oh, what?
And I packed them down in the evening for $5. So I make $10 a day. My mom is like going crazy. And I'm working for $10 a day, and I fix toilets and stuff in the hostel for a couple hours a day, and there's my rent. and living my American dream on $10 a day.
What's that Miley song? You know, hopped on the plane, LAX, with my dream and my cardigan.
My story was kind of similar.
That's just amazing.
Was your story a Miley song? Because I like to think my story's a, I like to think my story's a Jay-Z song. Where it's like, I like to think it's more like, you know, when they tell you you can't do it, right? You're like, oh, mate, like, difficult takes a day, impossible takes a week.
Right? Wait,
so how that's kind of me.
Mine's Beyonce's song. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Shaka's rocking to Miley. That's cool because I love Miley as well. Yeah. She's all vegan. I love it.
Wait, so how long ago was this?
That was 2001. And so it's just that idea of moving things from your want-to column to your have-to column. So, you know, I don't have papers. And I'm like a new immigrant and I'm figuring things out. And I just had to do a lot of things I wouldn't have had to do if I was at home.
Yeah.
So
unfortunately for you, Trump was not president. But anyway.
2001, man. There was a lot going on then, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
it was
true,
it was a rough time.
Yeah. Were you overweight when you came to this country? And being from a different country coming here, were you surprised by, I guess, the obesity right here and all the different health issues that we have here?
Yeah, well, let's tie it in with fitness a bit. I came to America. I was probably, I want to say I was up around 205 pounds. Wow. If you fellas watching at home, I'm about 160 now.
Wow.
So I was about 205, but I was lifting and stuff and trying to get in shape. And you know that hack where you're like, oh, mate, I lift a bunch of weight and I eat chicken and rice and chicken and rice and chicken and rice and chicken and rice. And yeah, I'm getting big arms and big chest and big shoulders, but I've got a big gut as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's that. And so that kind of, you know, years later of trying to figure it out, I actually ended up in, well, you know, to translate into my vegan journey, I actually ended up needing a scan on my knee. Nothing serious, but I didn't have health care. There was no, you know, Obamacare. And I went to county, and I sat in the waiting room. And I was sitting there for 12 hours with everyone else waiting.
12?
Yeah. Jesus. It takes a minute.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of us
you
waiting.
You have to be, like, bleeding out for them
to
like.
Exactly. I went to the back of the line. I just need a scan. Yeah. So, yeah, and all of us are sitting there waiting, and everyone was just smashing McDonald's and all this kind of fast food and the vending machines. And I realized how many people ate themselves into that room, high blood pressure, diabetes, and getting back to what you were saying.
It just hurts my heart.
Yeah.
Getting back to what you were saying about the, you know, kind of standard American diet and me not being a little naive, I quickly realized I never want to be back in this room by something I did to myself.
Yeah.
So I went online, I started Googling stuff until my phone ran out of batteries. And I realized most of the additives and hormones and all the garbage they pump into the meat. And I said, well, shit, better not eat that anymore.
Wow.
And so I went just vegan like the next day.
Really?
Pretty much.
It's so crazy. What I think is important is like that childhood fitness. And you said you were kind of a fat kid growing up. We just had Michelle Obama appear on MasterChef Junior. And what I loved about it is, so she basically says, here's a challenge. You guys have to make something crazy and creative out of what's in this box. And the box are fruits and veggies. And of course, one kid was like, veggies are disgusting. I'm not having those. So he was quickly eliminated. But they actually went through and did this. And the winning kid got to go to the White House for a state dinner. And now they're kind of rolling back some of the nutritional initiatives that Michelle Obama had placed in schools. Right now there's some lobbying to try to remove some of those initiatives and get back some unhealthy food. How did you think the way your childhood nutrition set you up for your adulthood nutrition?
Yeah, what did you eat in New Zealand as a child?
We're very much meat and potatoes. I think that my mom would disagree because she fed it to me when I was a baby, but really in my kind of adult life, I probably had my first banana when I was 34. So I just wasn't hip to it,
but
mate.
But, like, you guys are called kiwis. Kiwi
fruit. Yeah, I know. I'm still not that great a big fan of those. But it's really interesting that, you know, 100% of us learn to eat from our parents, but not many of us learn to eat well. And we just inherit this kind of culture of eating and culture of health based on our environment, you know, and that's our family and our group of people around us. And I think the biggest part of the journey is really about the flow of information.
Yeah.
You know, if you remember back to when we were growing up and you wanted to learn something about nutrition or, you know, what you put in your body, I mean, you're going to go ask a doctor.
Yeah.
Or you're going to go, you know, the guy knocks on your door selling you encyclopedias.
Yeah, but now
now we got the internet, mate.
Yeah.
So it's this awesome kind of freedom that we have to just look stuff up. And I don't know how you felt. going vegan, but didn't you start questioning everything?
Yeah, of course, because you just start to see all the things people are putting in food, and then and some vegan food's not as healthy as it could be.
Yeah.
So then you start to just look at the ingredient list, and you hear what they do and what they cause. It's terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you know, I'm a big fan of Michelle Obama and that kind of initiative, and her losing the battle against the big food companies and wanting to change foods in schools. So her counterpunch to that was, all right, if I can't fight Coca-Cola and I can't fight these kind of companies, I'll at least promote health and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to keep these kids active and moving around, which is a double-edged sword because it's good and bad. But as everybody knows sitting at this table, no matter what you do in the gym, it's no competition for what you put on your plate.
Yeah.
Well, I know Michelle, what she also did with the food companies, like you said, she couldn't get them fully to change, but some of them got on board in the sense like McDonald's. Now they're chicken nuggets, no hormones.
Yeah.
So not the greatest, but little changes. You know, they're not as much sugar and like Yoplait, the yogurt. So, I mean, it's not the exact, your face is like still not.
Yeah, no, it's a tough one because, you know, you applaud progress, not perfection, all these catchphrases. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you want another catchphrase, it's like there's no clean way to eat dirty.
And these are kids and they don't really know better. So they're getting what's presented to them, you know. But I to go back to what you just said, you the next day you go vegan. But how did you possibly do that? Because for me it took so long. I knew I had to have a plan because I wasn't even sure what it meant to go vegan. But like what was dairy, what was whey, you know, because there's different derivatives I can't have now too that I need to know. Some wines are, most wine is not vegan, which I didn't know.
Yeah, which we just learned.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about, a vegan wine? Isn't all wine vegan? So how did you go the next day, or did it take some time?
That's kind of where Vegan Fat Kid came in, where it's like, I didn't cook anyway. I mean, I had a pretty, you know, basic diet, meat and potatoes kind of deal. So I really have to just replace two food groups, meat and potatoes. And it turned out that potatoes, after Googling it, potatoes are vegan.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys are hip to that. Yeah. That was an easy one.
I thought you were going to say they weren't.
And French fries are as well. So that's great. Yeah. So I went to restaurants, and being in LA, getting back to your list, that's, you know, a little bit not favoring LA. I don't know why. I would go to these restaurants. And I'd find vegan food, and I would take photos of it. And my mate was like, you know, she's like, oh, you should put the photos up on the Instagram because you got the world's worst memory. And that way you'll be able to figure out where you ate. And these are like digital breadcrumbs. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. I'll do that,
smart.
Mate. And then, you know, Vegan Fat Kid just kind of evolved from that. And I still use it to this day as my own, like, oh, where am I going to eat today?
Yeah, and you kind of look at what you had.
So how did you come up with the name Vegan Fat Kid? Do you still look at yourself as a fat kid? Or do you mean like...
Yeah, you're not a fat kid.
Exactly, you're not at all.
I mean, sitting next to this guy. But absolutely, you know, I still get changed with the lights off. I have a really poor kind of body image. Getting back to, you know, my G.I. Joe He-Man figures back in the day, I don't look like that, and so it always kind of bugged me. And, the other day I actually was leaving the bedroom, and I had to turn the light on to find something. And I was coming back in, and I caught my reflection in the mirror, and I literally put my hands up just so I wouldn't catch it.
Really?
You know, even to this day.
I find that so interesting, because it wasn't until I did this show and I started realizing, I just thought girls went through that. I had no idea that guys went through that. And then we talked about an article where the basketball player, what was his name? The one from Miami.
We're not talking about John Sally being on.
No. What was his name? He's on the Miami Heat. He came out and...
Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade.
No longer on the Miami Heat.
Too soon. You know, he came out and said for many years he wouldn't take his shirt off. And then even going on vacation with my boyfriend, he did not want me to post any pictures with his shirt off. And he has... abs. And I'm like, no, I'm posting. And he was like, no. And I'm like, I thought girls just went through that.
No,
I find, what do you reckon? I mean, I find ours is a little more closeted. Like, we just don't talk about it.
We can't talk about it because it seems like now he's more of a girl if he's talking about it. He's worrying about stuff he shouldn't be worrying about as a guy. So you almost get a little bit of a double sort of blow.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the stigma, guys don't cry. They shouldn't cry.
Yeah,
it's like you shouldn't be able to have, you know, insecurities about your body. It's just...
Yeah, I try to be, I was trying to be very open about that, especially because I have a little bit of body dysmorphia, but I was always very proud of my body until I started competing.
Oh, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah. You competed, so that's on a whole nother level.
What happens is you get really great shape, and you're just like, oh, I love this. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And you just can't maintain quite that level of shape. And then 2 weeks later, you're just a little depressed at what you're looking at. And you're like, I hate my life.
Well, I mean, do you agree that, you know, that old adage of, you know, you need a certain level of self-loathing to build great abs?
Oh, yeah.
Because if everything's going great in your life and, you know, you're a pretty happy person, and if I gave you abs, you'd be equally as happy. Yeah, you're not going to put in the work that it takes to get that. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I had to gain the weight for that show.
Yeah.
And after losing all the weight, I saw myself at a place that I've never been before, like huge. And I started slowly gaining weight, and I would look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I'm not that bad because I'm not as big as before, but I'm definitely not where I used to be. So I'm like, all right, I got to get it together. I look at my body fat. Okay, you are way over. So I'm in progress after these days.
Yeah, after these days.
But that's why I went vegan, because I was like, I was trying to find a way to maintain very close to my competition shape but be happy and healthy. And, and it just took time to tweak and finally it was like, oh, wait, going vegan's the right way for me. Yeah. And that would help. The most.
And how many weeks out are you? Like, if I say, hey, Shaka, we're doing a photo shoot. Are you like, oh, yeah, I think I'm scheduled for the next 2 weeks?
Oh, no, photo shoot, day of.
Damn, look at this. Day of.
Competition, I might want 2 days. Yeah, it's competition, I'd be like 2 or 3 days. But that's what it took me. And then a moment, there was like 2 weeks until I was ready. Then it was like 1 week until I was ready. And now it became this thing where I can keep up because of the lifestyle and the diet.
It took me 6 weeks to get Punta Cana ready, okay? 6 weeks!
And now you're back.
And now I'm back, right? Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, I guess, a correlation between diabetes and global warming.
Yeah.
See, she went deep with that.
Right? Yeah. So scientists have been saying for many, many years that global warming, in fact, can affect public health.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know that. And they found that they studied between 1996 and 2009 that outdoor temperatures that increase 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit, there was a correlation of an increase of 4% in diabetes of people in the U.S.
Which is significant. Yeah.
So when you're really thinking about the numbers, that breaks down to like hundreds of thousands. I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't. But basically, one out of every three Americans will develop type 2 diabetes. And as global warming continues to occur, it's going to go up and up.
Yeah, and there's so many theories about, because it's like correlation, not necessarily causation. So there's a lot of theories about whether it's brown fat,
is
like, so apparently brown fat is the fat that's in abundance when it's colder, and that helps you burn for energy.
And see, I would have thought the opposite. I lived in the cold. I shoveled the snow. I'm from Boston. Like, I see, for me, I would see the obesity rate much higher than what it is here in LA. So I would assume diabetes would be more prevalent on the East Coast where there is snow. Here, we're sweating all the time. It's hot. We're more active.
Yeah.
But I guess that's not the case.
It's tricky, too. Like, to what degree is the environment affecting diabetes, or is diabetes affecting the environment? Because if, you know, if you're talking type 2 and we're talking about diets and the way we eat, you know, it sounds really bad, but it's like, you know, chicken and an egg thing.
Yeah.
You know, what came first? You know, did we eat really poorly and factory farm and a lot of animal agriculture, as we know, that pollutes the planet a lot more than anything else?
Yeah. Didn't even think of that.
They also found more carbon emissions from hospitals treating people with diabetes. So they don't know if it's that as well.
And round we go.
So it's an interesting correlation. But I used to do something on the East Coast. I don't get to do it often here, but I used to do shiver walks to stay in shape.
Huh.
So I would like go outside, shorts, light t-shirt, some gloves and a hat, and I would just walk around with super, super cold to get the body to just help to jump up the metabolism, so I'm burning a lot of fat. Essentially my own cryotherapy.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say.
Before I knew what cryotherapy was. And I got that from, Tim Ferriss, reading The 4-Hour Body.
Yep.
And so I started doing shiver walks and even icing the neck and the traps to really raise the metabolism, the testosterone level. So I think that does have something to do with it for warding off diabetes.
Well, I mean, he only works 4 hours a week, so he's got time for that.
My little hacks.
Let's talk about your work. You are quite the social media celebrity.
Early morning celebrity.
Early morning.
Yeah. You got to be up early to hang out with this celebrity.
I see his things, and I'm just like, I think he must have scheduled this because no way.
When you're watching that stuff, when I'm running to the gym, are you in bed eating croissants? Because a lot of people are.
Yeah,
apparently.
What time do you go to the gym in the morning?
You know, I get up around 5, and I watch a bit of the news and drink a cup of coffee. That's my pre-workout, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. And I work out fasted, so I just run to the gym after that. Probably 6:30, I'm in there.
What gym do you go to? We might be there at the same time. I might see you.
Yeah.
I'm up that early.
I'm in 24 hours. You know,
I am too. Which one?
In Pasadena.
Woodland Hills. I'm the new one.
Yeah, I'm going to shout out Pasadena 24 hour right now. And if everyone could chip in and fix their AC. Oh. It was pretty ripe this morning. I'll tell you that.
Wait, Woodland Hills 24-hour. We need Wi-Fi. I cannot get on my social. We don't have Wi-Fi there. Do you have yours?
You know, no, we don't. No.
And we know that heat's causing diabetes, so guys get on.
Yeah, this goes back to our previous thing. But yeah, so I'm up pretty early, and it's really been really fun. I get to share, you know, my daily routine with everybody. And so that consists of me getting up, drinking coffee, running to the gym, working out.
And then you know a good breakfast is coming afterwards. Hey,
wow, that's a tricky one because everyone says like, oh, then afterwards for breakfast you have your veggie wraps, which is your raw salad. I say, nah, mate, that's still working out.
Yeah.
That's not my breakfast. That's part of the workout. And so what we're doing with that is we're building not only our nutrition, obviously, and getting the foods into us that we're going to need for the day, but we're building some like discipline of like understanding that food is part of the exercise.
Yeah,
you know, so you're kind of testing that part of yourself.
I've never heard
it
that way. I like it.
Yeah, and it does build discipline in that where, you know, it's not reaching straight for your I don't know what you had this morning, the bagel or something. Like, what have you guys been eating for breakfast?
I actually had coffee for breakfast. I was so busy. Yeah. I did not eat breakfast.
Oh, you're back
today.
In LA time now. You're eating from the Dominican, so yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I had my vegan protein shake. I was like, we got to start it off hot today.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you know, and it's trying to change your mindset and how you view your food and how you look at this stuff. And so my veggie wraps are really instrumental in getting me started in the day. And then from there, everything else I eat is what you see on Vegan Fat Kid.
Okay.
I do not have any food in my house right now, and I don't have any snacks. And that's part of me controlling what I eat, so that if I really want to eat something, I got to go put some shoes on and leave the house.
I do the same thing.
That's funny. That's my big trick is I'm not going to buy anything negative or unhealthy for the house unless it's a single serving and I have to go out and get it.
Yeah. No, there's all these little hacks, you know. Everyone comes up with a little routine that works for them.
And you avoid processed foods, I read, as well.
Well, you know, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because it's like, and I'm talking to the fam over at Vistro right now who are going to hook me up with some meal prep stuff based around their protein line.
You can hook it up too, Fit Club.
Yeah, well,
shout out.
I'm going to bring some in instead of donuts next time. It's going to be a bunch of burritos from Vistro. Thanks, Vistro. I love you guys. And, you know, we're talking about that and, you know, the direction of, and not to get too deep, we're talking fitness and all this good stuff, but, you know, you go vegan for yourself maybe, but you stay vegan for the animals.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's been my journey as well. And I love Vegan Fat Kid and what I do there, and the space enables me to show you amazing vegan food and how easy it is to be vegan, especially in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You can go out and get any dish that you see on my site because it's at a restaurant. You can't go to my house. am I as concerned about being same day of abs like you are?
Yeah.
Not as much because I feel like I'm giving far more back to, you know, the animals, and I'm able to raise a little money for the animals and all this kind of good stuff. So I realized in my journey of kind of self-loathing, if you will, with my body dysmorphia, I realized that, you know, my mission isn't to produce the best body ever.
Yeah.
It's to produce the best life ever.
Mm.
And a physique is just part of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm able to eat donuts and maintain, like, you know, I'm kind of, give me a photo shoot in 2 weeks.
Nice.
That feel all right.
That was the fun part about going vegan for me. I did it purely just like the look of the body and then my personal, I want to be healthy. So it was all selfish. It was no altruistic motive. But I started watching all these vegan documentaries. I was like, wait, I'm saving the planet. Like, I'm helping animals and we're saving water and it's World Water Day today. So, yeah, I was doing good things. And I like that part about going vegan is that you're actually doing something positive for the world and other people.
Yeah, I mean, we spend so much time, especially in our younger days, being a little selfish. And so to live a life of service is really the most gratifying thing of all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's that shift from when you're 5 years old and you want a Christmas present to when you're 10 years old and you want to give a Christmas present.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of that.
We move away from that me, me, me.
Yeah, a little bit.
I love your shirt. It says, I don't know if you guys can see it. It says, hashtag vegan AF as.
Are we not allowed to curse on this show?
We can.
We can curse. I don't know why.
I'm just trying not to. I don't know why. Where did you come up? Because this is your shirt.
Yeah.
Correct?
So what happened was I had an opportunity that was given to me by my followers as far as building this community and a platform that I can now speak on stuff and do some stuff. And I'm like, oh, what a great opportunity that I can now raise money to give back, like what we're just talking about. So I teamed up with Vegetarian, and she was kind enough to create these shirts for me, and we give the money to Mercy for Animals.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't make any money from this stuff. It's just a way that I can use my platform for something about that, you know, that's not myself.
Yeah.
Which awesome. Is kind of the point, you know? It's not – I always say to people, I'm like, look, man, social media, it can be as deep and meaningful as you want it to be,
yeah.
or as shallow and Kardashian as you want it to be. it's really up to you, man.
Yeah, it is. Know?
So hopefully we're building these communities that we inspire and motivate each other, you know?
Absolutely. That's awesome.
All right, you guys are inspiring me. I need to just pick a date.
You've been talking about
it. We're inspiring you right now.
Exactly, I know. Yeah. I need to just... I think now is the time I went on my vacation. Things
anything,
are like,
yeah.
I know. I
Come on, you're
just...
in the Dominican. What are you eating? Just like papaya all day? And like...
No, I'll tell you. I had the best lobster ever. Like, that thing was so, like, you could tell there was no hormones. They literally plucked it out of the ocean, but I got it out of my system.
You kind of lost us. You lost us.
But I got it out of my system. I'm back in LA.
At least, yeah, you had the 22-day challenge you were going to try to do.
Yeah, all right, you guys, I'll do it. I'll do it.
You
guys,
if you can have a donut like this every day, there's no need, no reason not to be trying.
This is what I tell people. This is what I tell people. You know, if you want to... If I say go vegan for a week, you'll do it. Cause, you know,
a week. I can last a week.
Exactly. But for a lifetime, I say veganize that dish you have an emotional connection to. Whatever your grandma made or your mom made or whatever that thing is that you feel like, oh, man, I would never want to not eat that again. Mm-hmm. Veganize that one first. If you can nail that one.
Which one is that?
I'm sure you can. Yeah, you're good. Because the rest of it's just food then.
Well, I've had, like, cauliflower buffalo wings. Amazing.
Is that what grandma made?
No, like, but that's what I like.
You got to find, that thing that you have that thing? Emotional connection to. I think for you, it was what, cereal, I read,
I'm a cereal killer, man.
Wait, cereal's not vegan?
No, but...
Well, not all of them.
Not all of them, for sure. But I would smash people like, yeah, man, I just knocked out, like, 4 bowls of cereal. I'm like, bro, I just did 4 boxes in a sitting. And I am, no joke, all jokes aside, I am about... 5 months now clean of no cereal, and I feel really good about it.
Like it's an addiction.
No, it is, man. It is. That was no
Thank
joke.
Thank you for sharing, Tim.
How do you think I ended up, you know, chubby little bastard back in New Zealand? Like, you know, this is how.
Well, I got to ask you the number one question. I get this question all the time. Where do you get your protein from?
Man, wow. You know what? I'm always happy to do the ABCs of veganism.
Yeah.
This is, great question, especially with guys.
That's a number one question I get. How do you get protein? There's no way you're getting protein.
Yeah, first of all, understanding that the biggest animals in the world eat plants.
Yeah.
So clearly there's enough protein in plants. Mm-hmm. So when people ask me, like, but what about your protein intake? I say, like, just think about overall calories.
Yeah.
And literally... you know, we're trained to think of the protein first on our plate, and we build a salad around it, or, you know, vegetables around it. Just get that out of your mind. You don't have to think that way.
Yeah.
And so I'm just literally eating everything you see on Vegan Fat Kid. And in the morning, after my workout, my veggie wraps is just, you know, broccoli and cauliflower and all this good stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't even think about it. And I know that's like really it's a bit of a cop-out answer, but I really don't think about where do I get my protein
because there's
from.
So many sources. Like, there's protein in vegetables. People just don't know that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you love to eat like I love to eat, I don't know if you're a big eater, but, you know, it just means that there's not as many calories in my protein source, so I have to eat a whole bunch more, and I love to eat, so eating That's more great. Is a win-win for me.
So what is your go-to when it comes to having a flavorful dish? Because I think a lot of people think, well, you know, if it doesn't have any meat, it's probably not that flavorful. So what spices, herbs do you
use? Let's dispel a few myths right now. Yeah. The first thing you do when you get a piece of meat is you flavor it with plants.
Sometimes you soak it in overnight to make it really
well,
good.
I know,
in plants.
Yeah. I know for me, though, I think, like, especially in the Dominican culture, we'll use a lot of, like, sausages or like salty type of meats to flavor other foods. So we might not salt the meat as much or, you know, put seasoning as much on it because when you drop that into, you know, we put salchicha in our rice and beans. Just to make it more salty. Yeah, you're
waking up eating like chicharrón.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, trust me, I've been there, done that.
So what herbs?
I'll tell you this. You know, I challenge everyone out there, 14-day challenge. Eat a plant-based diet for 14 days. Not a processed one. You know, you don't have to hit a bunch of junk food. And understand how addicted you are to sugar, salts, and fats. Mm. And then once you kind of knock that out, and I think 10 to 14 days is a good way to break that addiction. Mm-hmm. And then when you eat those vegetables, the flavor comes to life again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you
know,
because your taste buds are so dulled
by
the sugar, salts, and fats you've been eating in that heavy meat diet that you don't even know how good raw broccoli tastes
until you get
off that sugar, salt, and fat. So for me, it's kind of that. You know, I really enjoy my favorite. I got off the plane in Chicago, like I mentioned. You know, I walked in to get something to eat my first stop, and I was like, can I get a quesadilla with no jalapenos? And they thought I was insane. And I fell in love with Mexican food. So, you know, spices and sauces and hot sauces and, you know, salsas and all this stuff is, you know.
So have you been to Gracias Madre here?
I have. I've been everywhere more than once.
You might say. Mexican, so good.
Yeah. But that's like a fusion, but we have some really, really amazing stuff. I hope everyone's coming out to a vegan street fair this Sunday.
This Sunday.
They'll be, we're shutting down a bunch of streets. Jessica and Vegan Street Fair shutting down a bunch of streets in North Hollywood by the Federal Bar.
Oh, okay.
And there should be about 20,000 of us, and we're going to be out there smashing a bunch of food into our mouths.
I missed this. Like, is it like every few months, 6 months or something?
No,
like
we do it once a year, and then I do Vegan Street Fair nights with Jess as well.
Oh, okay.
And we'll be doing our second one in September. Is it September? Yeah, I think it's in September, yeah.
So if you're new or exploring North Hollywood, when is
come
it?
Come out.
This weekend, this
Sunday. This Sunday. Awesome. So come out, was it the 26th?
Yeah, the 26th.
I think so, yeah. 11 a.m. and it's free to get in. You just rock up and there'll be about 60 food vendors. Ooh. Everyone's serving vegan food 100%.
That's awesome.
And there are little bite-sized pieces that you can go and just try things and open your mind, man. You know, you might find something you like.
That's what is amazing. Your favorite food that you like that's vegan? What is your go-to?
I will say this. We have five of the most exciting taco vendors are going to be at Street Fair. I think I've been there at five.
Tacos.
We definitely have the Plant Food for People fam. We'll be out there doing jackfruit tacos.
We have
Vegan Taqueria with Raul and them. They're going to be doing some street tacos, as well as Santa Vegan will be doing street tacos. So if you are a taco fan,
who isn't a taco fan in LA, right?
Exactly. Thank you. I don't think you're hitting that list you had with taco spots. I don't think Taipei is going to be hitting up the taco challenge. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so tacos.
Yeah, I would head straight for that. And then, of course, Donut Friend will be there. You know, there's going to be some stuff that you can only get on Sunday. I know the vendors are pulling out all the stops to create some things that you can't get anywhere else.
That's awesome.
And I'll be there. You guys come up and say hi.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Shaka, do you have anything left before we have to wrap up?
Yeah, we have to wrap up. I'm just so thankful you were able to make it in. Like, this is amazing. And guys, you have to look at his Instagram. His Instagram is, like, full of just mouth-watering foods. If you ever thought you couldn't go vegan, he will let you know you can.
Just looking. Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to ask. What did you train this morning?
I did abs this morning and then everything else. I like to do lightweight, full body, heavy reps.
All right.
I got you everything. Yeah.
What about me?
I figured you were on vacation.
I literally woke up and ran like 4 miles. I had to. I was like 6 a.m. We talked about this. We wake up every morning at 5, 6 a.m. at the gym. Just like.
Funny that you say that. 5 miles is my go-to run if I've really shit the bed the day before. Yeah. If I've just been on vacation, I'll run that 5 miles, and that's my thing. After a little bit of fasting, hit the 5 miles.
Yeah,
and
I fasted. Yeah.
Can we just give a little shout out to everyone that ran the LA Marathon?
Yes,
I'm not there yet.
Yeah, no, not for a minute. Yeah. I'm trying to get there.
I don't think I'll ever be there.
Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Shin splints, bad knees.
And if I ever do it, it'll be cold. I'll be like, let's just see how far I go.
He's going to be out there shirtless. In an ice bath. And he's like, I read this somewhere. Me and Tim Ferriss. Tim will be here in a minute.
All right. Where can they find you online? And do you correspond?
I do. Shoot me a DM or just hit me up on Vegan Fat Kid on Instagram. And I have that same handle across everything. So, you know, Twitter and all that good stuff. But, yeah, definitely Instagram is where I kind of spend my time.
Snapchat.
And, I don't snap. Periscope? No, I don't Snapchat. Don't snap.
Periscope?
I don't Periscope either. I do Insta Story. All my workouts are on Insta Story. I do it every day. Snapchat scares me.
I was scared too. I just got on like 2 months ago, but now I snap everything.
Can we see you live anywhere? Do you do Instagram Live or Facebook Live?
I may be doing Instagram Live tomorrow. Ooh. My first one, maybe.
Yeah, I have no idea either. So like, I don't know. For some reason, I'm always like skittish.
I feel weird. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not there yet.
I'll watch yours for inspiration.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, guys.
I'm accountable now. I'm a tester. Great. That's all.
And then again, if you guys want to meet him, he'll be at the Vegan
Street Fair. Yeah.
Street Fair Sunday.
On Sunday.
Sunday.
You guys can find me same place every Wednesday here on Fit Club or at fitwithfallon.com. Or at Fit with Fallon on social media.
You guys can find me at Shaga Strong on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
And I'm taking these home.
Yes.
Appreciate you guys, man. Appreciate you guys watching.
All right, you guys. I'll see you next week. Okay, take care.
Bye, guys. Thank you, donut friend.
7 Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.